Jim, James, Tim. What's his name? I wrote it down. Jeff.
Please welcome Jeffrey Lord.
Oh, this is for the Jeffrey Lord show.
Lord, really? I thought Jeffrey Lord was kind of like a real guy.
How are you supposed to be a strong, thrilling, powerful warrior and lover with a name like this? It is like a weak ejaculation. Jim.
The Lord is the gatekeeper of all music in Fort Worth.
Oh, Jeffrey.
If you don't love the Lord, you're effing F.
Like, really, is this the level that you sung to, Lord? So I'm done with Jeffrey Lord.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Funky Town Podcast, Fort Worth's favorite podcast. And I am your host, Jeffrey Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody, all right, buddy, yeah, that's cool. Thank you, thank you. Have a seat, have a seat. All right, get comfortable. We got a big show for you tonight. Hope everybody is doing well. I am doing pretty good. Took a week off. Last week was my birthday, so happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. It was all right, you know. I didn't really do anything big or fantastic or special. Lady Lord had surgery a couple days before my birthday. So I spent most of the weekend just kind of, you know, making sure she was comfy and taken care of and taking her medicine and all that good stuff. And so but we had cake and ice cream and had a good time. But I went ahead and took the week off, and so I'm back this week with a good show. We're going to talk to Mr. Joe Guzman. He is in charge of the Psychedelic Panther. It's his baby, his idea, his brainchild. You know, he was on almost exactly 1 year ago. I think he was on last year on March 22nd, and this year he's on March 18th, 19th, you know? So almost a year to the date. We had him on last year talking about the festival, and he's back this year talking about it again. And so it's going to be a good time. I'm really looking forward to it. So tonight's music is going to be all music from artists that are playing the festival. It's on Friday night and Saturday night at Lola's. And three of the bands that are going to be, there's be a ton of bands playing on Friday night. I just picked three. And the three that I picked was going to be, the first one we're going to hear from is a local favorite, Mean Motor Scooter, and their song Human Suit. After that, we're going to go into Gorgeous Jetson. They're a band from East Texas, and their song is called Pet Detective. And then after that, we're going to hear from another local Fort Worth favorite, Fantamello, and their song Gum Love. After we hear from Fantamello, we're going to hear an interview I did with Joe. Called him a little bit earlier, and we talked for, I don't know, man, it was probably almost an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. Talked about the festival and Lola's and some local shows, and we also talked about psychedelics and the use and the good and the bad and the ugly. So it's a good conversation. Hope you guys enjoy it. Then after Joe, we're going to hear from Little Beards. What's the point? It's funny. We're going to hear from Secrecies and their song Far Away So Close. And we're going to close it out with Joe's band Space Poets and their new song Teleport. Right now, we're going to hear from Mean Motor Scooter.
This is all that I am, both in fresh consciousness, living on land. I stare at the dark black, wonder if anyone ever looks back. Creatures of the night, fight and crawl, claw their way into my mind. Beings made up of light, penetrate frontal lobes, giving me sight. We'll be right back.
Funky Doom, Fort Worth's favorite podcast, the Funky Town Podcast.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our interview.
One second.
Hey.
All right. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Joe.
How's it going?
Good, good. Let you know, we are recording now. So we're talking to Joe Guzman.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, you had a good day?
I did. I was actually riding around Funky Town, going to Velvet Taco, showing a friend from out of town the sights.
Oh, cool.
Of this special city. So that was a blast. Great day. Looking forward to this.
Who do you have in?
Oh, I have a friend of mine that I grew up with, Steve. Steve Ritter, who's from Idaho.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, grew up and showing him around and his lovely lady around the parts down here in Texas. You know, they don't get a lot of what we have over there in Idaho. Although the trade off is they have the beautiful mountains and trout fishing and all that other stuff.
Oh, but, yeah. So are you from Idaho or just been?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I've been to Idaho. It's precious. I'm not from Idaho. No.
Oh, okay.
No, Steve grew up around here and then, he left for about, 20 years, came back. So,
oh, I got you. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. We went out and went to, Lola's, for the Rock and Roll Rummage Sale today for a little while. It was packed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Now I'm looking forward to the to your festival. So you're doing the Psychedelic Panther, and it's going to be at Lola's. Now, have you been up there checking everything out?
I am going to make my way there on Tuesday.
Okay.
I have regularly been busy, but I will be there on Tuesday to check it out and hopefully do some last minute planning with Mr. Ferrella and the fine management there, so we can kind of put the finishing touches on that aspect of it and get ready to really do this.
Nice. Yeah, man, it's a great venue, and I think it's going to be set up really good for what you're going to do. Because they have a really great inside stage, you know, and then they have a fantastic outside stage. It really seems like that the outside stage is more of the main stage, I think, you know. I don't know that it sets up that way, but I just always like being at the outside stage better than the inside stage. It's so nice outside. They got the roof over, you know, so you're outside, but you got a roof covering you and stuff. And it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I was kind of there at the last location, how they expanded that into an outside stage. I'm sure it's very much like that.
Yeah, it is.
And I mean, it would be in the main stage for this festival, but unfortunately, we have an installation that requires a dark room. So
yeah,
you know,
no, and it's going to be good in there too because it's got like a low ceiling, and it's kind of in a back, not a corner, but it's in a back space where I think it's going to look really good.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's going to be great visuals, and at nighttime, whenever the sun goes down, I have an artist doing a projection show on the outside stage. That's
going to
be special too.
Yeah. See, and you have a lot of I think like at Mainit Southside. I guess people drive by there and stuff, but it's not like Lola's being on the corner of a Berry and 8th or whatever right there. You have a Taco Bell across the street. You have some other restaurants down the road like Chicken Express and things like that, and there's a high school down there, and then right behind it is a smokestack and cider, whatever it's called, cidercade. And so I'm just saying there's a lot of traffic around there always. So as these bands are going on and playing and there's a light show outside, people are going to be coming over just to see what's going on. There's neighborhoods all around it, you know. So it's a lot of people just in this area that are going to see something happening, even if they don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. I think you have a good shot of, you know, having a really decent crowd out there because there's lots of people that are just out and about and see stuff going on there all the time, and a crowd attracts a crowd, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a great location. I had my doubts at first because, you know, I thought the original location was pretty awesome, you know, and I guess I'm a stickler for the original version of things, but, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to see the new and improved. You know, I know the guys over there have done a lot of hard work to bring that venue.
Now, I know what you mean. I would probably feel the exact same way. I'm only partial to this place, really, because it's right down the street from my house. And there's been a few different things that have ended up in that building that didn't work out. And it's like, oh, Lola's is going to be there? I think that's going to work. And it's done really well. And like I said, it's not far from us, so we get to go up there all the time. I've been really excited about the moving over. But now that old space was really cool. This new space is cool, but that old space was special.
Yeah, it really was. It had special moments. I guess, you know, growing up as a musician in this area, you know, I played there, so I was kind of partial to it, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah, made some good memories there. And then good memories afterwards to develop a taco. It was just such a nicely seated location, but, you know, definitely looking forward to making new memories at this new location for sure.
Oh, yeah. See, now, way back in the day, before there was Lola's, and before all this stuff was on West 7th or whatever, it was kind of, you know, chill over there. And they had a place run by Brian called The Rec Room. And that's where I cut my teeth. And that's whenever I was in a band, we played there. We saw tons of people play there. And whenever they closed, it was weird because they were trying to turn the building into a historical building. And they actually had all the construction on hold. And then the construction people somehow jumped the gun or whatever and tore it down before it was even allowed to be torn down. And then it was like, well, fuck it, I guess. You know, it was really sad. We were all really bummed that the Rec Room went away. But it turned into Lola's, you know. And then the next generation come up and started cutting their teeth there. And then now they moved over to this one. And now we have a whole new set of people that are learning about it. You know, it's cool. I like to watch the evolution of it.
Yeah. Yes, so many good venues come and gone. You know, I guess it's just the way of it, you know.
Yeah, it is. Like the Grotto and the Cellar and a lot of those that aren't no longer around anymore either.
Mass, of course.
Yeah, of course, Mass.
No reason why I moved to Crystal.
Yeah. I'm excited about the new thing that they're doing over there, the Cicada.
I haven't been in there yet. I haven't. I wrote the management about doing something there and never got a response. So, you know,
I think maybe they're just now barely open or not even open yet. It's like we're right on it. So they just may have not got around to doing a lot of that, you know. But it seems cool. The idea is good. I think it's going to be open all during the day. So you can go in there for coffee and stuff during the daytime or bar stuff at night. And, you know, I know the person that owns it is real cool. And so I'm rooting for her and hope that place works out. But yeah, I haven't been there either since the changeover. I haven't been myself.
Yeah, hopefully it turns out great for her and, you know, she can start working with local musicians. I don't know if she wants it to be that kind of place or not.
I'm not sure yet either.
You know, all I saw was her posting something to be Mass, so kind of big. You know?
I think the Jerry Johnstown Massacre Boys, you were just on their show a couple weeks ago. I think they're going to, I'm sorry, man, I just finished dinner right before I called you. That's why I was a little bit late. So now I'm all kind of, I think they're going to do something with it where they're going to do a show, like a podcast live from there, like maybe once a month or something. I think they're going to start doing that pretty soon. So that's kind of cool because nobody's doing like a live, you know, podcast show at a bar or anything, you know. So I think they got some stuff coming up, but I'm not sure exactly what all it's going to be, but we're not here to talk about them. So your show is April 7th and 8th?
April 7th and 8th. That's correct.
So Friday night, it's going to kick off around 5. And do you have a list of the different bands that are playing? You have inside bands and outside bands.
We do. Actually one of them just dropped, so I won't be naming them in this roster, but we have, as of now, we have Gorgeous Jetson performing on day one,
mm-hmm.
a band called Estacado, Maestro Maya out of Denton, Sunbuzzed out of Denton, our very own Phantom Mellow,
mm-hmm.
and Me Motor Scooter headlining day one.
All right. So did Primo Danger drop?
Yes, that's correct. They went ahead and dropped. They had a scheduling conflict, so this happened a few times now.
Yeah, no, with other bands. No, it happens. I'll have to. I may have to change because I had I was playing three songs from Friday and then three songs from Saturday, and the three bands that I picked was Primo Danger, Me Motor Scooter, and Fantamello. And so I'll go back and try to find a different band or whatever to play because I want to showcase the bands that are going to actually be at the show.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'll hopefully find a replacement for them. But the other bands are great. Gorgeous Jetson is coming all the way out of East Texas. You know, so they have an established following here. So they're really, really good. Really, really good technical, bluesy, psychedelic rock. And then on day two, we have Zvarga Loka, which is more of an instrumental trio, opening the day at 4 p.m. Then after them, STEM Afternoon, which is more of a eclectic kind of ambient musical band. Then our very own Apuk the Destroyer.
Mm-hmm. That's Matthew Broyles. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Headed by Matthew Broyles, really great music just all around in general. Matthew does no wrong. He's a storyteller. He's a great singer, lyricist, and his band is awesome. Then after them, an electronic duo out of Denton called Little Beards.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting music, very interesting stuff. Very great show to watch. And then I did something different this year. I brought in some a hip-hop duo. Called Lost Our Legacy. They're out of Arlington, and they're a conscious hip hop. They dive into subjects such as our consciousness, awareness, how the powers that be are trying to strip us of our consciousness and awareness and identity as human beings. And so, you know, it's something that I picked because they seem to be in tune with kind of the message of psychedelics. And so,
what are they called again?
Lost Art Legacy.
Lost Art Legacy. Okay, that sounds cool.
They're great. They're great. And after them is my band, Space Poets.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Secrecies, which is a band that was with us last year. Then a band out of Dallas called Only Ever, more ambient instrumental vibes. And at the end of the night, Lorelei K out of Denton, Texas. Lorelei K is a great ambient rock band. The members include Michael Briggs, who's a prolific producer out of Denton, and Dahlia Knowles, who is a trans woman activist. And the whole band is just a shining example of artistry. Michael plays an air synth in that band, so
oh, cool.
You'll see him. He has this kind of crystal ball looking air synth. He moves his hand across it, and it's already like running through digital audio workstations, and it's already pitched to a certain thing. And you'll see how he can just move his hand through the air and affect the music and correct pitch. And it's just a wonderful sci-fi thing to watch happen on stage. Also an amazing backup vocalist for Dahlia. So it's a great show.
That sounds awesome.
It's all going to be a fantastic show.
It sounds like Saturday is a little bit more it seems like Friday might be like a little bit more rocking, and Saturday's a little bit more kind of spacey, or like you said, ambient.
Yeah, I mean, that was done for a reason. I wanted Saturday to really vibe. Saturday's when most of the artists will be there. So it's going to be this spacey ambient music over basically what is a gallery of people selling their art. So I think that the whole feel of it is going to be more or less in line with the original vision behind Psychedelic Panther, which is visual and audio complementing each other, creating a transporting experience.
Awesome. And are you still looking for vendors on Saturday?
I'm looking for vendors on either day.
Okay.
We still have a few spaces available on Saturday. We have lots of space available on Friday. And if you're out there and listening and you're interested in that, you can feel free to check out our website, www.psychedelicpanther.com. You can email me at psychedelicpantherfest@gmail.com, and I will be quick to respond on either of those. So, you know, please feel free to, you have art you want to sell or any kind of product you think would go good at our festival, please don't hesitate.
Awesome. Yeah, I was talking to my wife. She usually does like a booth like out at Lola's. Like she would have had a booth out there today at the Rock and Roll rummage sale, but she just had shoulder surgery. It's kind of hard to say, shoulder surgery, just a little over a week ago. And so she's healing and wasn't able to do it. But I was telling her, I was like, you ought to get in on this, on your festival. And so she's thinking about it. So I may get with you, or she may get with you in the next couple
absolutely
days.
Yeah, she's more than welcome.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. And so, yeah, she has some groovy items that she likes to sell.
Nice.
And so,
we have some great artists this year, by the way. We have some amazing trippy artists. Matt Bardwell, check out some of his stuff. It's insanely trippy. We have a guy called Random Direction who's a spray paint artist, kind of a graffiti artist where he started. He has amazing work. So it's all really great. It's going to be a great lineup of both musicians and artists this year.
That's awesome. I did want to tell you, I don't know if you've ever heard of a band called The Cubes, and it's K-U-B-E-S, but I just had them on a couple weeks ago. There's some young dudes. I think they're all 21, but they play psychedelic rock, like kind of a 60s psychedelic rock. They're really influenced by Cream.
Nice.
And so, no, it's really cool, man. It's really cool. So that's somebody that, you know, you might need to...
I will look into that.
Yeah, because they might fit in next year, you know, if you do it again.
They might fit in this year. Yeah, there's a slot open now.
Heck yeah, man. Give them a call. Tell them I sent you. Say hey, I heard about you from, you know, our show or whatever, and see if they'd be interested. They play in Denton and here all the time. I think they're located here in town.
Okay, so, yeah, I would definitely reach out.
Yeah, I'll even send you a text message after this is over with to kind of remind you. But they're called The Cubes, and it's K-U-B-E-S, The Cubes.
Perfect. Yeah. I would definitely, thank you so much, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just thinking, I didn't even think about now, you know. But, yeah, they might even be able, it depends on what their availability is. They do seem like they're playing a lot. They stay pretty busy. But, yeah, they're really cool. Yeah. Young guys, and they're really good. It's totally just psychedelic. It's a three piece, but it's kind of a psychedelic blues kind of a thing. And sometimes it'll just kind of go off, you know, just kind of, you know, like noodle or whatever, and just kind of jam. And they're cool. They're real cool.
I love Cream. Eric Clapton was brilliant. That band Ginger Baker was brilliant. You know, just two musicians out of that era that are definitely underrated. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cream was a vibe.
Yeah, no, they were real cool. And I was just like, man, what is, you know, it's shocking to me still, because like I said, I'm an old dude now. I'm in my 50s, but it's like these young guys that are in their 20s that like this old 60s psychedelic music. I'm like, that's cool. You know, it's like, how did you learn that? You know, sometimes it's from their dad, but a lot of times they just kind of stumble on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like what's good is good, right? And what's good is good will transpire through the ages. That's
sure
what I think, you know?
Like
Pink Floyd, for example, huh? You know, every time they play, they're always going to play to a sold-out show. Doesn't even matter if David Gilmour's 90 years old or whatever it is, you know? Anywhere they go, it's a sold-out show. You know?
Yeah.
Roger Waters, same thing, you know? So kind of the music speaks for itself, which is it.
Yeah, I think Dark Side of the Rainbow, not Rainbow, Dark Side of the Moon just turned 50.
That's correct. Yes. Yes.
That's
a fun little internet rabbit hole too. Yeah.
Have you ever done the whole Dark Side of the Rainbow thing where you try to sync up Dark Side of the Moon with Dorothy, what's it called? Over the Rainbow,
The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. It's like as soon as a lion roars, you're supposed to start the album, and it's supposed to sync up, you know. And it's always good if you're doing psychedelics and right when you're, you know, 45 minutes in or so, when you're starting to kind of like really get going, you start the movie, that lion roars, and you hit the play on the CD player or however you're listening to it. And, you know, I don't know. It links up fine. It's in 4/4, you know, I think. And so a lot of movies will kind of link up really well. What we did one time, we did OK Computer to the same thing, and that actually worked out really well, too.
Wow. Yeah, I'm down. I've not experimented with that, but that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, there's certain psychedelic albums that you can sync up with different movies, and it kind of gives, you know, and if you're tripping or whatever, then it kind of gives the whole, it's just a whole new way to experience it. I think one of the... go ahead.
Another, like, a naturally trippy band, Pink Floyd, you know, I really enjoyed The Wall. The mm-hmm. Wall was... And I watched that when I was a kid. You know, the Wall was an eye-opening movie in so many ways. Oh yeah.
Just the artwork and everything in the actual movie itself is, you know, like, whoa, mind-blowing, especially if you're young. You know, the music itself is also, but yeah, you throw them together and it's like, it really is like, whoa.
When the most... tells you like a journey through life, right? You know, a journey through life and all the perils of life, and, you know, kind of just shows you just a story, an entire human story, you know, in that movie.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, that's what I got. So.
Yeah, no, it's heavy. I was going to say one of the other ones that I watched, but you watch it with the soundtrack. You don't put different music over it, but I think you could if you wanted to. Was have you ever watched the Mickey Mouse movie, the Fantasia?
Oh yeah,
where he's the definitely. Apprentice or whatever, dude. That is like really, you know, if you're on any kind of, you know, if you're on acid or mushrooms or something like that, and you watch that, dude, it is like, it's kind of tense, you know. It takes you all over the place. It's a fun ride, but that's a really psychedelic cartoon that I didn't ever notice when I was a kid.
I mean, I was tripping out on it when I was a kid, like drug free. Mm-hmm. So, you know, psychedelics, I imagine it would be amazing.
No, it's fun. I don't know that I ever really got it as a kid. You know, it was just like, it was just crazy. It was kind of boring to me. You know, it was just Mickey Mouse trying to mop up water or whatever. It wasn't, you know, but anyways. Now, there's a lot of interesting stuff like that. And it seems like it was really big in the 60s, the 60s and the 70s, like in mainstream. Even though they didn't talk about it, everything was really psychedelic. All the movies and kid shows, and, you know, it was just really just colorful, and just a different time, man. And I think we have a different sense of what psychedelics or what psychedelic art and stuff is now. There's more of a modern, you know what I mean? It's different than it was.
It definitely is. It's definitely interpreted differently. You know, it's fused with a lot of the things that have happened and styles that have happened over the last few decades. I think that's what it really is. It's kind of like, you know, because of that, because, you know, psychedelics started in the 60s, and, you know, everybody was really embellishing intricate patterns and like paisley patterns and stuff like that, and like correlating those to psychedelics. And we've had so many things, so many styles, so many trends, so many movements, that now our interpretation is vastly different from that of the 60s, you know. Yeah. Visually, sonically, and everything else. But a lot of the key components hold true. Light, sound, colors, textures.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and the play on those, and however you want to play on those, you know, there's a way of playing on those that's unhinged, and it correlates directly with being in a psychedelic state, or is sometimes inspired by such state, I think, you know.
No, it's interesting. Have you seen have you ever watched like Adventure Time?
Yes, absolutely. That's a trippy cartoon.
Yeah, I'd say that seems more like, you know, It's like, is this for kids or is this for, you know, acid?
For people who are Christian. Yeah.
Because it is interesting the way, and it is. It's like you said, it's the colors and the textures and the sounds, you know, and all that stuff. But there's always like an interesting kind of story that goes along with it as well, which is what, because it's a kid show. There's got to be like some kind of moral or something to it. But I think that kind of stuff goes hand in hand. Keeping an open mind, having a psychedelic mind means that your mind is open, or, you know, and so while your mind is open, experiencing all these things, I think it's good to have positive reinforcement.
Absolutely. Open in all the ways, you know, that's what psychedelics do. That's definitely the higher purpose of psychedelics, you know, beyond having a good time and experiencing, you know, cool visuals and, you know, sound and textures and temporal distortions and all this stuff, you know, time displacement, you know, I think that the higher purpose of that is to make us aware on a higher level, you know, make us aware of our humanity on a higher level and make us aware that we are all here and we're all here together, you know, and stuff. Definitely the higher purpose, in my opinion.
Oh, no, I think so. And I learned that through a buddy of mine. I lived in San Francisco for a little while, and that's when I had first done acid. And we would go to this club called the Palladium, and it had techno music, or it was called techno then. I think it's EDM now. It's just, and we just dance. And I loved to take acid and go out there and just be at the dance club. And we would dance till six. It was open till, I think, till 6 o'clock in the morning. The only people that were there at 3-4 o'clock in the morning are people that are tripping their balls off, you know. And it was like the rave kind of thing. We had the glow sticks and just all that kind of stuff. And but it was just a party thing. And then it was years later that somebody's like, dude, you're doing it all wrong. I was like, what? He's like, no. You come over. It's just me and him. We put on The Matrix, you know. and we hit play, and then we dropped. And then so about halfway through the movie is when you kind of start to go, whoa, you know, whatever. And then by the time The Matrix is over with, we're all like in this whole like, oh, red pill, blue pill, what's real, what's not real, and all this kind of stuff, and get into it. And then he had a 5-disc CD changer. So I picked out two, he picked out two, and we had one that we agreed on and had our little playlist going, you know, and it's just everything just kind of went. And we had just had a night of, you know, like you said, just talking about stuff and, you know, talking about the human existence and what it all means. And is there an afterlife? Is there multiverses? Is there, you know, all that kind of stuff, man, you know? And it was cool. And I was like, this is the way that you should do it. It really is more of a, you know, intellectual, spiritual kind of thing than it is a party thing. Although it can be a party thing, but you get way more out of it if you kind of sit and contemplate.
Even if it starts as part of team, most high dose trips, most intense trips will turn into a shamanic self-discovery trip
at some point.
You'll definitely at some point get up and leave and go do your own thing and find out something very important about yourself or the universe, you know, at that time. I think that's the way I've always
I think you're right, because there's a lot of those nights that I have more stories that aren't just me dancing. I mean, it's me, you know, usually going off somewhere, going off with some friends and experiencing something kind of magical or whatever. So that is true. You're right. You know, and I talk about it so fondly because, see, my daughter's 18. She'll be 19 in June. And I hadn't done psychedelics since before she was born. Not that I'm opposed to it or anything, but I had my psychedelic period. I mean, we were doing it, geez, at least like every other week for a few months, you know. We just did it a lot. Once I got married, and then I had a kid, and I was like, and if I ever had the opportunity to do it again, I'm just like, I never wanted to do it because I'm too nervous that something's going to happen in the middle of it. I get a call, you know, you get the phone call that you don't want to get, you know, something happens to one of your kids and you got to come right now or whatever. And you're like, whoa, I can't, you know what I mean?
Or that makes sense.
Yeah. Or you sit there and think about how heavy it is to have kids. Cause that's one thing you do. You know, a lot of people who have bad trips or have them because they're doing a lot of self-searching that they've never done before and they don't like what they're finding. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this much, you know, whatever you do, you know, as an adult with responsibilities, you got to get out there and you got to once in a while just kind of take a break. You got to go on a retreat, which is what I do when I really want to think. So, you know, I'm a high achieving, high functioning, you know, always busy kind of guy, you know, mm-hmm. but even I burn out, you know, and I go on break, sometimes psychedelics, sometimes not. And I'll go out into hill country and, you know, I'll go out there to meditate, you know, just to find myself again. You know, I think that's important. You know, with psychedelics, it's so much better because you have the bandwidth to reflect deeply. So that's what I like to do. You know, at the same time, you're right. I don't have a kid and, you know, I'm not worried about the phone call or whatever, but you know, if you can leave things behind in a good place, like your kids, you know, in good hands when you leave, and you know, everybody understands, you just gotta take a vacation, then that's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah, I've also worried about, you know, just the heaviness of having kids, because it's heavy sober. When you think about it, you're like, I got this life, I got this other person that depends on me, that I gotta feed, that I gotta teach. You know, right from not right from wrong necessarily, but you know, how to be a good person, how to be decent, you know, how to be, you know, honest and moral and kind, and you know, and this new being that's on earth that I'm supposed to, you know, hopefully one day they turn into this awesome person. And a lot of that has to do with how I treat them, you know. And so it's just heavy sober, but yeah, I'm always worried that if I took it, I would really go down that path of like, you know, what am I doing? Because every parent fucks up their kid, even if they don't mean to, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, well, I'm a parent now. I'm not going to fuck up my kid. I'm sure that my kid's going to have stories, you know.
On the flip side, though, every kid eventually goes back to their parents as adults and will ask them advice on something they can't figure out. So like you're never actually done teaching, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the teaching aspect of this is worldwide. It's like we learn from everybody at some point. And, you know, yes, of course, our parents being the direct influencers, we learn from them the most. But as adults, we pull from everything. So yeah, eventually you're going to have to go back at when your kid's 40, you're going to have to teach them new things, you know?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
You know, so like it's just that. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do agree with you. I had a friend that's like, it's like once a year I go on a camping trip, I take some mushrooms. That's the only time he does it. He's like, and it just, when I come home, I'm completely reset. It just resets me for the whole year. You know, I go out there by myself, I camp for a weekend, I take mushrooms, I meditate, I pray, I hike, I'm alone, you know, and I work through everything that's happened in the past year, and then I go home and I'm reset and I'm brand new for another year. And then I was like, that's not a, you know, that's, I think that's healthy. You know, there's nothing wrong with something like that.
Definitely. And we've been doing that exact thing for like thousands of years in like shamanic society. So yeah, it's proven to be healthy, you know?
Right.
So, you know, the Navajo actually base a lot of their like social dealings and social politics on shamanism. Like, you know, like doing peyote to fix a marriage is a real thing. Doing peyote to settle disputes in the community is a real thing. I think, I mean, you know, we'd be wise to like take a page out of that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've had studies where people would take MDMA with a psychiatrist as a marriage tool. Because whenever you take ecstasy, or I guess it's Molly nowadays, whenever you, it just makes you really honest. You're really able to talk to the person that you're with about things you would normally couldn't, for whatever reason, whatever hangups that you have, whatever fears, whatever self consciousness you might have is just gone. And you're just like, you know what? And you kind of talk, and y'all both talk openly and honestly with the psychiatrist. They say that MDA is a really good marriage counseling drug. And I've experienced that too. And I think there's something to it. You know, there's lots of these things. It's just weird because our country is so crazy that we don't even like allow a lot of times even talk about these things.
Yeah. That's why I love podcasts, is because, you know, a podcast will stand on their own 2 feet and like say what needs to be said.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes I get a little nervous, like on Jerry Jonestown Massacre. Sometimes I get nervous about what Matt's gonna say because he's kind of a loose cannon, you know. But you know, I'm glad that I'm on a platform where you know you can voice your opinion in your mind. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. You know what I mean? Like the fact that we get to do that. You know, we're not there's not gonna be any kind of elite government team with black bags waiting for us out of the side of the door if we voice our opinion. You know what I mean? That's a beautiful thing, and yeah, I think that this platform should be utilized to the max.
No, I agree 100%. But it was funny, man. You were on the Jerry Johnson Massacre a couple weeks ago. I think it was the episode where Dustin wanted to do his apologies, you know, and he was all like he was apologizing for the way him and Stubbs were on another podcast. And then Stubbs like, hang on a second. And then he starts telling this hypothetical story. Hey, how about he wanted to go somewhere and have Dustin in blackface. And Dustin's like, wait a second, I'm trying to apologize. And Matt's telling this story. And he's like, this is what I'm apologizing for. It was so funny. Because the very thing that Dustin was trying to apologize for, Matt was doing it in the apology. You know, no, they're funny, man. That's, yeah. I don't know. I learned a long time ago that I think a lot of what they do is, if you're terribly shocked by them, then you don't need to listen. And, you know, it's one of those things like death metal. I'm almost convinced that death metal sounds that way because they only want people to listen who really, really, really wants to listen.
And it's really a shock get it. Valley.
Yeah, you know, and so I'm not saying that they're trying to. Valley. Yeah, I'm not saying that they're trying to scare people off or whatever. But I always called it their douchebag. There's like a douchebag buffer in the first 30 minutes. It's like if people can get past the first 30 minutes, then they're your fans. You can say whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You say get past the. So say whatever and.
But yeah, man, here forward, if you know Matt and Dustin, you know they are like
they're the best. People. You know, you they're good.
They are your douchebag friends.
No, they're not douchebags. I'm just saying, there's the douchebag factor. It gets rid of douchebags. I'm not calling them douchebags. People that can't. You see what I'm saying? It's like if you can't get past the first 30 minutes, then you're a douchebag and you shouldn't be listening. So just
bail out. Yeah. I'm a douchebag sometimes.
I'm gonna get, man. Why are you calling us douchebags? I'm like, dude, I wasn't calling you a douchebag.
You're a douchebag, but I love you, man.
Yeah. No, knock that off. No, they're just way more forward and way more just open to saying exactly what they think than I am a lot of times. You know, I'm way more self-editing and stuff.
But I appreciate it. Like the point of case is that I have they're not afraid to voice their opinion and voice their truth, you know. And I think a lot of the world, a lot of the powers that be kind of choke out and stifle our voices, you know, no matter what else we're trying to say, we never get to say it because, you know, we're always scared of retaliation, right? You know, we're talking about illegal substances on the podcast, you know, and we're even like deep down the side, we're even like, you know, a little nervous about it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, sure, because anybody can hear it at any time, and you have family and friends, maybe employers, whatever, that, you know, maybe have a different view on that kind of stuff than that you do. So sometimes you can get a little bit nervous about, like, oh yeah, man, I took acid every week for a couple years. You know, they're like, whoa, wait a second, you know. But
but I mean, you know what, hey, you know, let it be said. I mean, I'd rather they know, right? So they can shift perspective on their prejudices, you know, especially on the world of psychedelics, which, you know, if everybody did psychedelics, you know, that would remove prejudice.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, let them think what they think. I'd rather them know and find out, you know, and go on their own journey.
Do you think there are some people that just shouldn't do psychedelics?
You know, I think there's people that have very complicated trauma, or they have complicated neuro disorders. I wouldn't say trauma because psychedelics can actually treat trauma, but neuro disorders. They have very complex or complicated neuro disorders, and I think that psychedelics might exacerbate their neuro disorders, right? I don't believe that psychedelics are bad for anybody in most cases. I really don't.
I think it depends on how much. There was a story. So the original Pink Floyd singer's name was Syd Barrett, and he was in the first couple of albums. He's the one that did Shine On You Crazy Diamond, if you know that song. It was one of the really big early songs or whatever. But the legend is that he took too much acid and lost his mind, and he was locked up in a psychiatric ward. And I've always wondered if you take too much acid and lose your mind, you know, what that looks like. Or not what it looks like on the outside, but what it looks like to the person experiencing it, you know?
Yeah.
Because whenever you're on acid, you're like, this is a magic. Because you can go to another place sometimes where you're like, this is a magical place. I'm in a different realm almost. You know what I mean? So do you like live in that realm? And is that kind of what, you know, crazy people are when they talk to themselves and they see things that aren't there or whatever? They just have them like some sort of...
Well, you know how whenever you take a heavy dose and you lose your sense of spatial orientation, location, you lose your sense of time, right? And all the things that make modern day life conventional, you lose all your conventionalities whenever you dose heavy. And in a certain sense, you're free. But in another sense, you can't really operate that way. And I think that's what happened to Syd Barrett.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to lose your mind. Especially, it takes a lot of usage, repeated usage, and constant usage to lose your mind. No, because I've taken a vial of acid to the face, and you know, I'm still here, mm-hmm. functioning among the rest of us, you know. But in order to do that to yourself, I'm guessing he had cheats of acid.
Yeah, I wonder. It had to be a lot. Yeah. I think the most I've ever done is like five hits at once. But I know one time I had this. I mean, we were going really strong, and I had this aluminum foil. You could just hold some aluminum foil, and it's completely smooth, and then you put one wrinkle in it and it just like changes everything. And so I'm just like wrinkling it, and all of a sudden like the wrinkles turn into like cattails, like at a lake, you know. So it's like all this grass and these big old like the cattails that are sticking up, and then there's all this water and it's color and the water's moving, and I'm holding it in my hand, this picture, this moving, it's aluminum foil, but it's fucking a moving photograph, you know what I mean, of this lake. And it's like, I felt like I could just go inside there. And I could have. I really felt like I could have just, you know, like walked inside there and been wherever that was. But I knew that if I did, I would never come back. Or at least in my mind, I thought, don't go in there. You'll never come back, you know. And so I ended up just kind of like putting it down and going and doing a different activity, probably melting crayons onto a candle or something. But it was trippy, you know what I mean? It's like you could look at a photograph and it turns into a movie, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely, you know. And there are places where you can get stuck in your mind. There are trips that if you dose heavy enough, you can get stuck in for a while, you know. There's when I took the vial of acid to the face, that was something. I ended up on a roof with a stolen guitar. I thought I was Johnny Cash for a minute. I completely lost my mind. You know, like it was something else. I was also, you know, in party mode. I was doing other things, but the thing about it is that, you know, I was in the after effects of that trip for like a week. You know,
I believe it.
And you know, and my friend felt that the guy that gave me the ball, you know, to take, felt really bad about it for a little bit. You know, that was just one experience of how that could affect your life. You know, I was able to go to work and everything else, but I was like deeply affected by the fallout of that. And I think there's places you can get stuck in, man. Maybe not even like mentally all the time. Maybe just emotionally. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's why it would be really helpful. if these kinds of drugs were legal and you could do it with someone who was experienced, you know, like a shaman or whatever, who makes sure that you get the proper doses and make sure that you're safe, you know, because you can, you know, get into a really weird place and end up thinking you can fly or something. I've seen the after school specials where the guy's like, I can fly. And he jumps off a building, you know?
Yeah. And see, yeah, that's the dark side of it, isn't it? If people knew how much to take, right, and knew where the safe zone was, then they wouldn't get to that level, you know. But I think that's the dark side of it, that, you know, that the medical professionals want to scare you with, right?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's no regulation, so you really don't know what you're taking. I remember one of the first times I took stuff and all my friends were mad. They're like, this is bunk. And it's like, you would feel something, but you weren't, you just felt weird, but you weren't, you know. And they're like, this is not good stuff. They're like, this is bad. They said that what people would do is they would take sheets and just spray it with like Raid and let it dry and then sell it, you know. That was in San Francisco in the 90s, you know. But they swore up and down that we got some acid that was just bunk. It was probably something like that was just sprayed with Raid or something that gives you like this really chemically feel, and it makes your heart beat really fast and stuff. So you feel fucked up, but you're not. It's not the same at all, you know. And so you gotta be careful, man. And that was in the 90s. And these days, dude, I get terrified. I wouldn't take any pill that's not prescribed to you. I'm so scared of everything being laced with fentanyl or whatever because of the news and shit. And so I've turned into that old man that's like, don't do drugs. You don't know what's in it. You're going to get fentanyl, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You know, you got to trust your sources, you know? Definitely vet your sources out there if you're exploring psychedelics, and make sure that what you're getting is going to be okay.
That's crazy. No, it's scary. But yeah. I'm just saying that's why it needs to be legal, or these drugs need to be legal, so that way there's regulation. You know what you're getting. People are held accountable. You know, you won't have this kind of stuff. You know,
I think the natural stuff is more safe, honestly. Like, as with anything, is mushrooms, ayahuasca, mescaline, peyote.
Yeah, I don't think I would even do acid anymore. I think if I was going to try it again, I think I would do mushrooms these days.
Oh yeah, this is the better way to go. The mushrooms are the ones that are the most proven for psychological disorders, for emotional disorders, for anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that should be prescribed to people, in my opinion. Just as regular medicine, for society.
And some states are getting there.
Yeah, Colorado is making big strides, mm-hmm. and some other states are too. Hopefully, we can see a future where that becomes a common medicine. I think the quicker we do that, the quicker our awareness as a society will definitely shift in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, but then we'll all realize that how fucked up everything really is. You know, and the powers that be kind of like it fucked up.
Yeah, you know, and I guess unwillingly, you know, I'm kind of like a psychedelic activist because, you know, I'm kind of giving a spotlight, even a little tiny one, to things that have been inspired by psychedelics, you know, and saying, look how good this is, you know, this was inspired by raising your vibration. This is inspired by opening your mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of art, you know, these kind of lyrics, this kind of music, you know. And so I hope that it's a trend that catches on. You know, we're not Colorado, so unfortunately, the whole of the whole of the state, you know, is frowning at me right now. But
and I can tell you right now, you do not want to get caught with psychedelics in this state.
Yeah, you know, whoever you are out there listening, whatever you do, be safe and, you know, don't get caught and have a plan, a responsible plan. You know, definitely don't drink and drive. I would never suggest you do that.
No.
I'd rather say trip and drive before drink and drive, you know. But whatever you do, be safe. And know that you have a friend. If you don't feel safe and you know, you need a place to go and breathe, there's going to be a place for you at my festival. You know, I'm not going to be like a trip parent or anything, but I can make sure that there's a safe space. If you are feeling a certain kind of way, you know, it took something that, you know, you don't have to disclose, you know?
Yeah.
Same as with any festival, you know, that, around the world, right? You know, same as a Burning Man, same as a Rainbow Festival. There's always going to be a place you can go to be safe.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. And I will, man, as far as any advice that I would give anybody that plans on doing any kind of psychedelics at any given time, stay off the alcohol, stick with it, stick with just the psychedelics and drink lots of water because you dehydrate. That's the problem.
Yeah, the alcohol is killer here. The alcohol is what's going to like get you in trouble with the law and probably get you, you know, in a car accident or worse. Mm-hmm. So that's really the demon here is the alcohol.
So. I think so. Yeah, just stay away from that. Drink lots of water and you should be good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Dude, it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah, please invite everybody you know. And if you, for those listening out there, once again, the website is www.psychedelicpanther.com. Come check us out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
And if you buy your tickets online, they're a little cheaper. And I think your 2-day pass is cheaper than the single day passes combined. And so you get a deal if you buy both days.
I mean, they had a festival last year, I think, in Denton, and it was like $75 for a weekend pass. Mine is $20. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it'd be crazy to pass up. Yeah. Plus, you're going to get all this great art and light shows and products and stuff that you can browse. It's going to be good.
That's awesome. I think Andrew's going to be out there doing some recording, isn't he?
Who?
Andrew Turner from the Fort Worth Roots. Didn't he say he was going to come out there and record?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Andrew was such a big help last year in mm-hmm. getting the word out that he has kind of like a residency at Psychedelic Panther.
That's cool. That's real cool. Yeah. Now, he's a good dude.
And Jeff, if you wanted to broadcast too, you could. You know, I mean, I'm open to it. So,
okay.
You know. Yeah.
All right. Maybe I can do it. Sure. Yeah, we'll see. It depends on what the wife's doing because I also have my 9-year-old. So if she does like a booth, I may have to like watch him a lot of the time.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah, but we'll see. But yeah, I may be able to. But I'll definitely be out there. And I'll be talking about it on the show and stuff. And I'll like I said, I'll play some music. I'm going to play in the second half. I'm going to play Little Beards. I had one of their songs. And then I have your song by the Space Poets, and then I have Secrecies, so I'll place those here at the end.
Great vibes. I hope that you enjoy the new single, and new album drops on April 1st.
So okay, cool. April 1st. Nice.
You want to check out Space Poets, it's www.spacepoetsband.com. we have our music going on Spotify pretty soon, and we have our social media too at Space Poets at Facebook and Instagram. So come check us out too.
Excellent. Awesome, man. Well, dude, it's been a good time.
Yes, it sure has. And it was a great conversation. I hope that people tune in and catch some of this knowledge and the beauty of the shamanic journey and the psychedelics.
Yeah, me too, man. I do too.
Yes.
Awesome, brother.
Okay.
All right, man. Well, it's good talking to you.
Likewise, Jeff. You take care.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. All right, bye.
irresistible.